Hello and welcome to the Ship Energy Podcast. I'm Leslie Banks Hughes, and I'm delighted to say that today's podcast guest is Irene Rosberg, a hugely well-known and highly respected figure in maritime, not least because of her role as Director of the Executive MBA in Shipping and Logistics at Copenhagen Business School, a course more often referred to as the Blue MBA. Irene is passionate about maritime education at the executive level, and her many other roles focusing on education include Blue Board Leadership Programme Director at the Copenhagen Business School. She's also a board member of the Executive Offshore Wind MBA programme at Gdynia Maritime University in Poland. So we're all very aware that the demands of the energy transition and the advent of digitalisation are changing shipping and its associated industries profoundly and also quickly. Articles and conferences are constantly hammering home the fact that while crew and officer retention rates are plummeting, there's also a pressing need to upskill the workforce to handle new fuels and technologies and to attract new talent with new competencies into maritime. But what about leadership roles in the industry? How are executive roles being reevaluated and reframed so that shipping's leaders have the skills and strategic vision to move the industry forward? And how is executive leadership education rising to this challenge? There's no better person to answer these questions than Irene Rosberg. And so, Irene, a very warm welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you for the opportunity.
You were completely instrumental in setting up and developing the Blue MBA over 24 years ago. So perhaps before we consider what executive education looks like today, can we go back to that very beginning? So at the launch of the CBS Blue MBA back in 2001, what did leadership education look like in shipping in the wider maritime sector? And what were the demographics of those who were in leadership roles at that time?
25 years ago, it's a long time for an industry which is changing so rapidly. But when you look at the leadership, I mean, the demographic of the maritime industry leaders were certainly different. It was predominantly male, of course, because this is such a male-dominated industry. But also, it lacked a lot of diversity that we have today. And, mostly the leaders were from the countries which had established maritime tradition and they had large economies. You had leaders who were coming from predominantly Western Europe, United States, and in Asia, you had Japan. So no wonder the global power structure was indeed centered around a few major maritime hubs. So that's where the leaders were coming from.
Back then, what was your ambition and focus for the course? And how were your skill sets and experience? How did they make you the right person to lead this MBA?
I mean, that question should be asked of the president of CBS, who really headhunted me to get this job. But I tell you what my ambitions were and why I think he decided to put the fate of this program in my hands. My ambition was actually to provide a holistic view of the maritime industry and to groom the next generation of CEOs for this industry. I came from a background of grooming the next generation of CEOs, a background where I was investing a lot of time in upskilling the leadership in this industry. And what I saw was that a lot of people were coming from with a very strong niche area of expertise. But of course, that was not really enough if you are an expert in a niche area. That takes you so long. I thought that to stay competitive and to really be amongst the leading companies, you need to have people who have an understanding of what it requires to really integrate the industry's many facets, taking into account the commercial, the technological, the legal, the financial. And of course, today also we add to that the environmental, social, and governance aspects. So it was important to have a holistic view of the of this industry, because, I mean, if you are really expert in a niche area, it can take you so far. And of course, this is an industry, whatever happens in any segment will have an impact on your segment. And if it was very important to have the holistic view. And why they thought I was qualified to do this work was that perhaps because I have my entire working life, I have been working within the maritime industry. And the focus has been always on enhancing the skill sets of the maritime leaders. I think what also helped was that I have a very strong professional network in the maritime industry, which gave me perhaps additional knowledge, gave me a deeper understanding of the industry's trends, and has been a major help to really make sure that we align our offering within the industry's demand and stay relevant and current. And the network that I've had have been absolutely amazing in helping with that.
And as you say, that sort of interconnectedness across the industry, I mean, it really is in shipping's DNA, isn't it? So I just wonder, you know, maybe if you can explain a little bit more detail, sort of, you know, what was the core content of those modules of the MBA in its very early years? And the critical question, of course, is how did you attract the first students to the course?
Oh, yeah. I remember those days. It was not very easy. So when you look at the core modules of the MBA, it's not really the core modules have not changed, because we also required, according to the accreditation bodies, to have a set of the different elements in an MBA. So we always have the markets, we have the supply chain, we have the operation management, we have investment analysis and risk assessment, you have a strategy and so on. But with the time, they have changed. They have changed this because what we do is that we constantly update the program and to reflect the challenges of the industry into our academic program, make sure that what happens in the industry is actually a part of the offering that we do. So if you are doing the supply chain management, we look at the demands and we look at the challenges, we look at the disruption. So the disruptions that we have today is different from what it was like when we started. So therefore, the supply chain is there, but the way which we address it is different. So yeah, and then of course, to get the first class, it was not very, I mean, you come up with a new program and it's not really very well known. It's not known at all. And actually the reason we started the program was that because the stakeholders within the industry came to the Copenhagen Business School and said, we want to have a MBA, which is fundamentally an executive MBA, but should address the needs of this industry, because we want to make sure that, because the industry is changing so much, and practical know-how that people bring into the shore, because a lot of people who were working on the in the management positions on shore, they were former master mariners or chief engineers. And therefore, what they were bringing was very practical. And what they needed to just realize that there's a need for a different kind of skill sets. There is a need to have some people who have the practical know-how, but on the top of that, you needed to have, how do you read the market? How do you forecast? This is such a volatile industry. How do you do investment analysis? And how do you risk assess? How do you set strategy and implement it? If you're really going to lead an industry, you need to have this holistic view, as I said in the beginning. And therefore, the industry wanted to have an executive MBA, which is fundamentally an executive MBA, but looks at these sort of things for the maritime industry. Because you could, of course, say that let's bring somebody with a generic MBA and ask them to apply what they have learned into this industry. But it was difficult, because to be in the industry and to have the practical know-how of the industry was such a great added advantage. So it worked that way. So what we did, one of the things I did, I spoke with the stakeholders, and I actually decided that the best way to do is that to create a sense of urgency, that to be successful, you need these tools. And to have these tools, there's a place to get them. And that place is the Blue MBA at CBS. And that's how we started. And of course, I mean, the thing is so different now. I mean, We have even raised the bar, and every year we have hundreds of the applications where we really make sure that we have the right course in place.
I mean, obviously, as you know, you just explained that those applicants who get on the course, there's a lot to juggle in terms of the different subjects they will look at throughout the course.
Yep.
And I know, you know, some MBAs do encourage people to take time out for study, but the Blue MBA requires participants to study as well as far as they can and continue with their day-to-day jobs.
Yeah.
So that must be, with the course workload, that must be a challenge professionally and personally. But why do you think it's so important to keep aligning both of those work strands?
Well, of course, time management is something that one has to consider. But for us, it's a prerequisite that you have a job. And the reason for that is that once you're doing the program, you are doing a lot of projects as part of your study program. And we want to make sure that these projects are very hands-on. So our participants are doing those projects which are related to the topic they cover, but also related to the company they come from. The idea is that they should have access to real data. They do a real job. They really apply the learning into practice. This is how you really learn, by doing. And if you don't have a job and you want to do it on a, you know, take time off and do it, it's not possible, because then you don't have to have access to real data and have a real job to apply it to. Also, the learning is so much better when you are really taking this and applying it on a current thing that you are really dealing with. So, and additionally, once the companies actually appreciate this a lot, because you're on an ongoing basis, you are providing solutions to the issues which are relevant to your job. And in other words, you more or less are killing two birds with one stone. So you do your degree, you do some work, and then you have access to absolutely wonderful professionals and experts to help you, guide you doing those projects. So you're job related, but also are a part of your academic degree.
There's that constant then two-way flow where, you know, work and study are constantly inform each other sort of at the course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yes.
So, I mean, as you've already sort of alluded to, you know, the courses evolved significantly over that 25-year time span. So I wonder if you can sort of highlight some of the ways course content has changed and maybe in the way it's actually delivered to students. And I wonder, how challenging is it to keep the course current in terms of what's happening in shipping logistics and to keep ahead of the curve by identifying future trends and developments and incorporating them into the curriculum?
Oh, you know, you cannot separate this program from the industry. So the industry evolves, we evolve. We evolve with the industry. The industry has evolved enormously over the past 5 years, let alone the past 25 years. And we have tried to keep pace. I always say that the shipping industry and this program, I always compare it with a river. It's not like a pond. You stand next to it still and see what's happening. It's like a river. It's running all the time. It's changing all the time. It's moving all the time. It has a lot of movements and excitement and challenges. And of course, if you want to really reach the ocean, you have to go with the waves. You have to really face the challenges. You have to see the obstacles, and you have to find solutions how to face those challenges and solve those obstacles. And this is actually what we are doing. We are giving the tools to people to move with that, to make sure that they get to the end point. So if the industry changes, we change. If the industry has other challenges, we make sure that those challenges are translated into our academic program. And of course, you know that we now see that the primary focus is now used to be on efficiency and supply chain and logistics. But today, this is a lot more complex. This is a lot more multifaceted, the role that we have. We have to look at the sustainability. We have to look at the digitalization. We look at the geopolitics. And these are all coming into the game. Now, the shift is driven by the environmental regulations, is driven by the technological advancements, and it necessitates a new approach to leadership, focusing on these issues. And then, of course, that requires other skill sets, new skill sets, always building on what is happening and how we can upskill ourselves. So I would say that the maritime industry's leadership is evolving in terms of demographics with, you see more young people, you see more digitally skilled professionals, and you see, I would say, slow but still steady increase in female leadership. And the changes of the industry have always been driven by a need for new skills, particularly now in technology, and to create a more inclusive and diverse leadership pipeline. This is what we see that debate is that we are going forward.
Okay. And I wonder, you just sort of touched on it there, but if you can say a little bit more about kind of what the student mix is in each year's cohort. And also, you've also said as well, you know, it's a highly competitive course to get onto. You know, you've set the bar high. I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about the sort of the application and selection processes for that course.
Oh, yeah, I love to talk about that because, you know, when I put a cohort, it's absolutely, you know, the dynamic has to be absolutely top-notch. When I look at the applicants, of course, there is a set of the requirement that we have, like every program, every master's, MBA. You have to have a degree from a recognized university. You have to have recommendations. You have to have a number of years of work experience. But one of the things that has always been really a top priority for me, I'm the head of the admissions board, and it has always contributed to the success of the program, is the diversity of the cohort. Now, by diversity, mind you, I don't mean nationality. Even though in my current class, I have 48 participants from 25 countries. But I consider shipping a very global industry. I consider us the citizens of the world. So it doesn't really matter what kind of a passport you hold. We are still operating in a global environment and we come with that global mindset. But still, I have in my current class, as I said, people from 25 countries. And some people also attach a lot of importance to the diversity when it comes to gender. I know a lot of people call me and ask me, how many women do you have in the program? And yeah, this is a male-dominated industry. When we started in the first two cohorts, I had no women. And now it has gradually added more and more women. But I also don't put having a female participant in the top box and just tick a box and say, I have so many women. No. This program has a kind of standard, which we have to stick to that. And I'm not going to interview people. I take in participants in the program which are qualified, which are competent, which are motivated, which are ready to take the next step, who have everything they need to have to be admitted to the program. And then some of them happen to be women. But then you ask yourself, then what is the diversity that you're so proud of? The diversity that is absolutely fantastic in this program is the segment of the industry you bring into my classroom. Because, as I said, we want to give a holistic view of the maritime industry to our participants. This has to be reflected in our cohort, in our professors, in our lecturers, in our events, in our program, in our study visit, in everything that we do. And that cohort brings everybody who is, I mean, all the segments are present there. You have the ship owners, ship operators, ship managers, equipment makers, freight forwarders, brokers, lawyers, financiers, logistic, name it, they're all there. And the advantage of that is that a lot of times people not only learn from their professors and lecturers, but a lot also from each other, you know. And I mean, the energy in that cohort, you should be sitting in that classroom to understand what I mean about the buzz, about the energy, about the dynamic of that classroom. And that is one of the best diversifications that I have seen in the classroom, which is really of great, great importance to me. So that's the diversity that I think is really very important. And of course, yes, we have a number of ladies in the program. In fact, let me tell you one thing that I have. Four people in my classroom right now, in my current class, who have PhDs already. And two of them are two ladies.
That's amazing. Excellent. So maybe if we can pivot a little bit and sort of maybe look at the companies that the MBA students are drawn from. What have you learned about how these businesses may be also reevaluating and reframing what leadership means in their respective areas of operation? Perhaps you think there's an awareness that how a leader interacts with all the people in the business is very different from maybe sort of 20, 25 years ago, when perhaps leaders operated in maybe a more siloed way within an organization.
Well, I mean, leaders in this industry are also seeing what is happening, the changes which are happening. They are navigating in a very different landscape. They are focusing on a lot of important issues like sustainability, digitalization. And they have realized that there are human-centric challenges. You know, we have shifted actually from a traditional and command and control style of leadership to a more modern, collaborative, and people-oriented approach. We are driven by technological advancements. We are driven by globalization. But we also have learned that soft skills have gained a lot of importance. Today's effective leadership is moving towards a more transformational style. You see the values in emotional intelligence, in psychological safety, in teamwork. I mean, leaders today know that the biggest competitive advantage is to have competent workforce. And so attention to talent and retaining that talent has become very important. And I think that is one of the ways to do that. One of the ways to retain your talent is to make sure that you invest in them.
Okay. And you've already mentioned sort of, you know, the importance of sustainability, the energy transition, technological innovation, digitalization, and you know, we're also coming to AI. I just wonder how do you see these factors influencing what's now required from maritime leadership?
Again, I think this influenced the leadership, maritime leadership, big times. There's absolutely an awareness of the requirements of technical and strategical skills. There's a great focus on human capital and the need to shift towards a more collaborative and adaptive decision-making. Today, it's not like a past that some one person made the decisions. Today, the decision is no longer attributable to one single individual who is the head of the organization. That is why there's a need of having a diverse skill sets to contribute to the collaborative decision-making process. Leaders must now navigate geopolitical instability. They meet very strict environmental regulations. We have rapid digitalization, and they have to manage cybersecurity. They have to address the crew shortage. They have to address the skill gap. So in order to bring all these things and to bring required skill sets to deal with all these things, to make a sound decision, they realize that a diverse workforce is crucial, which can bring a wider range of perspectives, a wider range of experience, a wider range of skills, and provide a better outcome, better decision. So that is absolutely it's the top of their strategical mandate when you look at the leaders, when they look at what they need today. Yeah.
You give me a really good picture of how sort of, you know, the students on the course sort of interact with each other, collaborate, you know, spark off each other. And I just wonder sort of, you know, after each cohort's done the course and you have their feedback, you know, how do you maybe incorporate that feedback into when you're planning future editions of the course? And could you maybe give an example of how this kind of worked in practice?
Well, that's what the ordinary MBA does. We are not ordinary. We are very, very unique. So yes, we have an exit interview, which people come up with their ideas. But you could say that, let me put it this way. We don't wait for people to graduate and tell us what is not working and what should be working. We do it on an ongoing basis. And it's not only with course, we always are in contact with our graduates, but we are also in every model which we have a conversation with our participants to see what we can do to make it better. You could say that we have our agents in the field at all times. And as a group, we do identify trends, we identify challenges, we identify issues that the industry is facing. This is through our participants, this is through our graduates, this is through our ambassadors, our network, our lecturers, And we are not waiting for people to graduate and tell us what we should do to improve it. We do it constantly as we go forward. Let me give you an example. Perhaps it explains it a little bit better. You know that once the Red Sea crisis happened about 2 years ago, everybody thought, okay, let's see and see what happens. Is it going to go away or is it not going to go away? So what we did was that you have a program which is already there, but this is an issue which is of interest and of concern of a lot of people who are working, we are working with and are in our classroom. So we said, okay, we waited a few weeks and we realized that this is not going to go away. This is going to stay. So we have to make sure that our participants get an update, make sure that they have the tools to know how to strategize around that, how the insurance is working around that. What is the impact of, diversifying the routes to a much further away route? What is the impact on the CO2 emission, on the zero emission that we are really striving to make sure that we are sustainable? What is that? So that is what I mean. We are not waiting for people to graduate. We are constantly looking at the industry, see what is happening, talk to our people in the field, in the classroom, our graduates, our advisors, our groups, and then, of course, to our alumni association, which is of great importance and of great help to us. And that was one of the examples. One of the other things that we learned now was that the AI has a greater importance now. So we make sure that is pushed into more of the elements of the program that we are doing. So yeah, we are doing it all the time as we go along.
Mm-hmm. So you're sort of constantly refreshing and keeping agile and bringing in the outside world's Absolutely. Problems yeah. and challenges and incorporating that in the course. And I mean, how do you see executive education, executive leadership courses more broadly evolving in the future? And it's probably difficult, we don't all have crystal balls, but do you see a direction of travel, how they may have to evolve in the future?
Yeah, and again, this is, we are an industry-specific MBA, and what we do is more or less dictated by what the challenges that the industry throws at you. So it depends how the industry evolves, what are the changes. And I believe that we would continue to have a significant tension to the advancement in digitalization and automation. We are driven by technologies like AI and the creation of smart chips and autonomous vessels. We are looking at the innovation, what is happening there. I think there would be a bit more focus on that. I also see that there would be a lot more focus on decarbonization via the alternative fuels. And we are looking at the trends which lead into more efficient and safer and sustainable operations in both shipping and also the port activities. And we, of course, look at these trends and make sure that this is going to be reflected into the industry. But let's face it, I have not seen any industry which is impacted, whatever is which happens in the world, as much as the shipping industry. If there's a flood somewhere, we are impacted. If there's a war somewhere, we are impacted. If it's a natural disaster somewhere, we are impacted. If there's some election somewhere, we are impacted. The tariffs impact us. So you can see that it's really difficult to say what the future is going to bring for us, because we just try to be agile and face those challenges and provide the tools to face those and come with remedies.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, sort of looking at opportunity, I mean, do you think that maritime offers a pathway for all in terms of aspiration and ambition? Do you think, we've mentioned before how people on the course, they've done that route from onboard ship roles, moved into shore-based roles, risen to leadership roles. Do you think the channels are still sufficiently open for all who want to, really pursue a career in shipping and, arrive at the very top?
Of course, there are several routes to leadership without university degree. In fact, a lot of times this could be done through experience. Experience plus some upskilling has always been very useful. Many employers are now prioritizing on practical skills and abilities over the formal education and, acquiring specific certifications and complementary professional development programs, etc. is all about getting the tools, how to apply those tools in a day-to-day work. That is why we have actually created the Blue Board Leadership and Governance Program. That is why we have the Blue MBA Association, of which I am the CEO of, which and where we provide the long life learning. And let me tell you something about our own graduates. When you talk to our own graduates, they are not really on this program to get another degree and hang it on a wall somewhere and say, okay, I got this degree. It's all about what are the tools I can get to do a better job. As I said, we have participants in our class that have, many of them already have another master's degree. Some of them come with a PhD. The idea is that what are the tools they can gain to do their job better? Because that is actually what is the most important way of providing know-how to people who want to be savvy professionals in the commercial world. And that's what we are trying to do. So that is important and that is being done. And that you don't really need to have a university degree to be a leader. You can get the tools through the Blue MBA to do a lot of things and become a leader, but not necessarily you can do other things to become a leader. And as I said, there are lifelong learning, there's experience combined with professional development courses, etc.
Okay. Lastly, sort of maybe in just a few words, can you sum up the Blue MBA's USP and, you know, what identifies or characterizes a Blue MBA graduate?
Oh, the Blue MBA graduate is a professional in the maritime industry, which is so highly sought after. And I'm not saying that because I'm sorry, I'm not very modest, but I know that what we are doing is so well received by the industry. They are mid-career or senior level professionals. They have significant work experience. They have, through the program, they have acquired advanced strategic and leadership skills. They are practical. They have real world perspectives. They have strong decision-making abilities. They have a good focus on strategic impact, and they're committed to self-improvement, adaptability, and lifelong learning. They do not come to university to have a certificate to hang on the wall, as I said. They come to the Blue MBA to get the tools they need to meet the challenges that this ever-changing industry is throwing their way. And they want to know how to overcome the obstacles. They apply the knowledge, the know-how in the classroom to a hands-on situation, which makes their unique combination of practical know-how and strategy, finance, leadership, very, very much sought after. There are today 450 of them around the world sitting in fantastic senior positions, and they are thriving with the tools that we have offered them. Very, very happy about that.
Excellent. Irene, it's been absolutely fascinating to talk to you today and to learn how your own career has been so focused on helping others to shape their careers. So thank you so much for the conversation.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me, and have a lovely day.
Thank you.